We're continuing with Vision Destiny 2020. This is session 14, coming to the end. I'm reviewing what God said to me in 2019, sharing my journals just as I wrote them, sharing what God did, what experiences I had, and how does that relate to the coming year and our lives in general. Some of the major themes that have come through, the restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, those were things that really were key last year. Love's light, the reality that we need to shine love's light into a world that's covered in darkness. Happy eschatology, let's look forward to a positive future of restoration. The Joshua generation arising in sonship, taking their places in heaven, outworking that into the earth, establishing ecclesia, and all that that means, and living from a place of rest, living in love, joy, and peace. So some of the things relating to eschatology, and particularly in terms of restoration and how eschatology and other things relate together. Son, the four streams of restoration that are flowing towards each other can become a river that fills the earth. Son, the restoration of energy healing in all forms is another stream for you to be associated with. And actually, this was earlier on the year, and I've had an invitation to go and speak in Phoenix with Carrie Browning and others into the whole energy healing stream, bringing a quantum perspective to that reality, which is a fulfillment of God opening the doors of opportunity for me to do such things. Just as the river of life flowed out of Eden to become four streams of life that watered the earth, so too will these four streams be restored back to one river of life, unified and abundant. I will give you access to these four streams. Son, I am as been at work within all four communities independently to restore each without the knowledge of each other, but in this Joshua generation, these communities will begin to flow together. The flow of momentum will increase as grace, greater grace, grace upon grace, and manifold grace is poured out upon each community. Great favor will come with grace, and the light of truth that each stream has will illuminate more of my children. My grace will be released to cause each community to arise and shine love's light with ever-increasing intensity, that the truth they carry will explode even into the religious institutions of men. The light of revelation empowered by my grace is going to penetrate even the hardest hearts within each of the communities against the other. See, a lot of people who believe one aspect reject other aspects, and I believe God is going to bring a unified whole because it makes complete sense, both a reflection of his heart of love, but also a logical sense that these things work together in cooperation and don't need to be separated or divided. The mystics will begin to see the logic and truth of realized eschatology and energy healing and expanded consciousness. The universalists will begin to see the obvious connections to eschatology and eventually the other streams. The realized eschatologists will begin to see the rather obvious connection to universalism and eventually the mystic and energy streams. The energy and consciousness streams will find it easier to see the connection with the mystic community and universalism and eventually will recognize the need for a unified whole within an eschatological framework. So if we don't frame the future, then we have no idea of where we're going and why we're going there. If you frame it in negativity, then you're heading towards a negative end, and that will affect how you live today. If you frame it in positivity, then you will live in a more positive view of the future, and it's important that we get what is God saying about it. By using the Bible as our tool to produce the revelation of this, we're going to be struggling with confirmational bias and letting go of the belief systems that we may have held in the past. When my grace is increased, the momentum of this flow for the Joshua generation, mercy will be poured out into the earth in unprecedented ways as the everlasting doors will begin to be fully opened. Now, I think it's really important that we realize that each of us are gateways of heaven into the earth individually. But beyond the individual, there's the corporate. And when we come together corporately, we will begin to find that we begin to have access to see heaven come into the earth in a much more powerful and more increased way, rather than just in the way we've been used to seeing it as we create that atmosphere around ourselves. Something corporate will bring exponential increase, and opening the everlasting doors and seeing the river of life poured out from heaven into the earth is very key to that whole process. Son, call in the harvest of harvesters, most of whom are already waiting in the wilderness or Egypt. It's a figurative description to join in with one of these streams, as they will find it easier to see the unified whole of the river of life and love. So in other words, God will use the revelation of one of these streams to engage or attract people to come into the truth and become fulfilling their identity as the harvesters. The Joshua generation are to equip the next generation, which are those harvesters. The laborers for the harvest field is another way of looking at it. Our role is to be a forerunner, to equip, to prepare, to help, to empower, to release, to envision those people, so they will begin to fulfill their role to reach the next generation, so that three generations can begin to work together. As there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so I believe the Joseph generation and the next two generations need to function together in unified whole, looking to see God's kingdom fill the earth, the glory of God fill the earth, to see the mountain of the house of the Lord raised up, and to see all the other mountains, all the other authorities in the world coming to the ecclesia of God, established as heaven on earth, in embassies of heaven, to see we have the answers, that we're living in a new dimension of reality of what it is to live in heaven on earth, therefore no sickness, all provision, everything we need, every supernatural dimension functioning, all the power systems, all the energy systems, everything that is in heaven functioning on earth, and then beginning to expand to fill the earth, so that the whole of the earth will recognize what it's like to live in relationship with each other and with a loving Father who has the best for us. So I made some declarations, and I'm going to make some of those declarations now, and I'm just going to release those declarations again, because I believe it's important for people to experience those declarations, and I'm going to release them into the atmosphere again. I call for the light of truth and the light of love to shine with increased intensity. I call for the light of truth and love to unveil true reality to each of the four communities. Let the sound of the light of love go forth. Let the frequency of the light of love go forth. I call for the light of truth and love to shine into the wilderness of religion, to engage with those veiled in deception, so they can see the light of the promised land of freedom and sonship. I call for the revelation of freedom and sonship to go forth. I call for the light of truth and love to shine from each group into Egypt, into the world, to reach those alienated from the truth, to see the light of Jesus and come out of the world into the new, one new man in Christ, the family of God. I call for the family of God to arise. I call for the Joshua generation to flow together from all four streams into a mighty river, a river of life and love, to reach the harvest of harvesters, to reach that billionfold harvest. I call for the harvest. I release the sand. I call for the storehouses to be established. I call for the forerunners, the Pauls, the Timothys, who are hidden within the darkness of the occult, New Age, and other religions, including the Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Taoist, atheists, to arise and shine with love's light and truth. I call for those who are hidden to come into the light the evangelist for the Joshua generation. And it's really important to embrace the frequency of heaven, love, joy, and peace, that we would see those come forth out of darkness into the light. Now, often I make declarations like this when God speaks to me, and I begin to release what's the passion within my heart, particularly the passion and the oracles of the Father's heart, to see things change, to see things transform. We can't just keep on doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's insanity. Let's start legislating for a different future. Son, be ready for the shift from justice to grace that's coming exponentially for the next season, so the full unveiling of the restoration of all things can take place. Only the tip of the iceberg has been seen. There is more beyond what most can imagine or think, but it is coming slowly, but inevitably until fully revealed. Son, to move forward together, there needs to be a together that can encourage moving forward. Now, whenever you're looking to do something together corporately to establish an ecclesia, there must be gathering, engagement, relationship, foundationally, experientially. How do we do that? Seeking me together, eating together, fellowshipping together, sharing life together, supporting each other, encouraging each other, challenging each other, helping each other. Being together, being living stones together, being an ecclesia together, being an embassy together, being ambassadors together, being light together, being love, joy, peace, meditating together, growing together, maturing together, legislating together, establishing and expanding the kingdom together, bringing heaven to earth together, opening the everlasting doors together. See, together is the key. You cannot be independent and expect to be a living stone functioning together with others. Essentially, God has established that he does this through people gathered around his purpose, one heart, one mind with him, walking together in relationship. There is no need for independence within God's kingdom. It's all to do with relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship, and God wants to bring all of us into a relationship of interdependence, where we function together and we enjoy being together and experiencing the outworking of that relationship on earth. You cannot reflect who God is, Father, Son, and Spirit, as an individual, independently of others. God always intends us to do this relationally. Son, there is the being and there is the doing. You cannot effectively do without being who I called you to be. It is my name that you bear and my identity that you are to reveal. You are my ambassadors and you represent me on earth, and I am building you together as living stones. Be prepared to be a living stone. Don't be isolated. Some of the scriptures that relate to this, Ephesians 2:19-22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So this is a sense where this is a broader thing that God is doing throughout creation, but he's also doing it individually with people, specifically coming together in relationship. The conclusion is clear. You are no longer frowned upon as a foreigner. This is the Mirror Bible. You are where you belong and part of an intimate family. Your lives now give tangible definition to the spiritual structure, having been built into it by God upon the foundation of that the prophets and apostles proclaim, which are the oracles of God legislated into the earth. The first evidence of this building was Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In him, every one of us are like living Lego blocks fitted together of the same fabric, giving ever-increasing articulation to a global mobile sanctuary intertwined in the Lord. In him, you are co-constructed together as God's permanent spiritual residence. You are God's address. Now, that's so important to recognize that God is present on earth in us, and he wants to engage through us, and he wants us to experience the reality of being together and seeing that we are here representing him. We are ambassadors. So let's continue with what God said. Son, go back and revisit the heavenly blueprint that I've given you from Isaiah 61 and Luke 4 and frame them for today. See, when God gives a vision, when God gives a blueprint, you get a revelation of it at the perspective you are there present. But there may well be future developments as our minds are renewed, as our consciousnesses are expanded, as we begin to realize there is more, so we can reframe things today, not just stuck in we have to do this like we've always done it. Let's see fresh understanding of the revelation come forth. For us, Isaiah 61 is such a key scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. When you read this, it's obviously written in Old Covenant language, and what this means needs to be reflected into New Covenant. So Jesus then began to put this into a different context. And it does go on to talk about comfort in all who mourn, grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. This is restoration language. This is the language of restoring things back to God's original condition. Now, he's not talking about physical ruins or physical cities. He's talking about what that represents, that we are going to see a rebuilding of the things that were there in the beginning and the things that God intended, and we're going to see them come about. That is our mandate. Now, when I first saw this, I had no idea really of restoration, of the fullness of restoration. So I interpreted this, and we interpreted this through our then present understanding. Now we have a totally different understanding, and this carries so much more weight and gives so much more revelation than we first knew then. So now we can't put this in the context of overall restoration. And we have a part to play in helping the restoration of the disadvantaged, those who are imprisoned. Now, in a sense, all of us are disadvantaged, so that does not limit it, but you may have specific mandates to target specific people groups, which we do. But then Jesus redefined it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind. So now he's added sight to the blind, which wasn't in the original as a specifics thing. So he's added that. Now, what sort of sight is he talking about? Physical sight? Yes, of course. But also spiritual sight. Because all of those who were living in the old covenant were living blind to the new covenant reality of Jesus the Messiah. And only the disciples and those few people who were following him had any insight into the truth. Others were rejecting him. So they were blind, and he said they were the blind leading the blind. And that's what religious spirits do. They're blind leading the blind. And it goes on to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now in the new covenant, there is no vengeance of our God, because that was written from the perspective of those who wrote that with a view of what was going to take place in the future. Now that future was now here. And Jesus basically said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. So in other words, this is now fulfilled in me, in this time, and I am bringing the favorable year of the Lord, which is Jubilee, the cancellation of all debts, the cancellation of all slavery, bringing people into the freedom and restoring their inheritance that they may have lost. And this is the understanding of this, to bring restoration of everything that was lost. And that was something that they had every 50 years. They had a Jubilee when all land and all inheritance was returned back to those it belonged to. Even though they may have traded it away or lost it in some way, it was going to be restored. So we all are like prodigals. We've all done our own thing. We've all gone our own way. We've all been sheep. We've gone astray. And Jesus has come as the shepherd to gather the sheep from every fold and bring them into one fold to restore God's original intention for one people, the people of God who would be in relationship with him. So normalcy keeps people perpetuating the past in the present with there being no hope for a transformed future. Son, the future is going to be different from the present in that the systems my children have come to rely on will not provide the answers to the problems they have created. We cannot solve the problem with DIY answers that we've produced ourselves from a DIY independent life following our own humanistic path. Things appear to be better when viewed through human eyes compared to the past, and technology has solved some of the current problems, but the future will bring a total failure of the DIY tree systems. So let's not just look to man's ingenuity. Let's look to what God is going to release to his people to bring maybe beyond technology into organics, into consciousness, creation, into quantum observation, all the other things using energy and frequency, which are not necessarily going to be technological, but will be more to do with how our mind functions. Nothing that comes from following the DIY tree will be restored because it was never my intention from the beginning. Independence from relationship with me can and never will produce fruit. All that has been produced will not be restored. Everything we've done and we've done in our own strength, independently from God's heart and God's will, won't be restored. So all the mountains we've built will not be restored, but they will come to the mountain of the house of the Lord, and they will find that in the mountain of the house of the Lord, there are the true answers, the heavenly answers to earth's problems. The greatest achievements in the name of mankind will end in the same way as the Tower of Babel, in abject failure. Those places on earth that represent me as embassies of heaven will be true demonstrations of what it is possible to achieve by walking the path with me and drawing from the inexhaustible supply of the tree of life. Let's not try and draw from our own cisterns, because they're empty systems that can hold no water. It's really important that we draw from the supply that's inexhaustible, which is in God himself. I will restore all the abilities I intended my children to have, as seen in my Son, and greater to those who will establish embassies of heaven on earth as sons of the living God. Our responsibility is to bring heaven into the earth and let heaven fill the earth and let heaven and earth be back into alignment. That is restoration. When my children arise into sonship, so will their abilities to ascend as they mature in heaven and on earth. So let's embrace the process of transformation, where that process is ongoing, causing us to ascend in maturity, to become mature as sons of God. I will release the full capacity of the expanded consciousness of the mind of Christ to those who ascend in maturity. Then creation will truly observe the light of sonship revealed. Now, the light of sonship. So the whole of creation is waiting for us to come into the maturity of our sonship. When my children give up their independence and choose to walk with me, the sons of God will be unveiled and creation be restored to the freedom of their glorious rising. So important that we embrace our identity as the sons of God. Son, the embassies that truly reflect heaven on the earth will surpass the greatest imaginations of men, to become what would have been if the garden had expanded as was intended to fill the earth with the fruit of the tree of life. This is what we're looking to do, to see God's original intention fulfilled, restored fully. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, power, and spirit beyond and beyond sonship will be flowing from the ascended fathers who will rule creation as family. See, we're not intended just to stay as sons, but become ascended fathers, like our Father, and function with him in relationship. Son, nations have come and gone. They are but a drop in an ocean, a mere wisp of breath, but family will be restored as one, with all barriers, boundaries, and divisions removed, so kingdom family will bring the full blessing to fruition. All the families of the earth blessed. What Adam, Abraham, Moses, and David failed to do will be fulfilled in the new covenant when all the promises are fully realized in Jesus as Son through all who are alive in him as sons and co-heirs. So there's such a realization of all the promises of God. Son, do not limit your thinking to DIY, do-it-yourself technological visions of embassies, but allow me to expand your mind to see and embrace organic garden possibilities. Now, this was a very challenging thing because I was thinking of how my mind was expanded and my consciousness was expanded, and I could choose to create things by thinking about them, observing them, and calling them into being. But I was thinking of technology. So, for instance, I was thinking, let's say there's a huge sickness going around the earth and you live in health in your embassy of heaven. And you're living under heaven's government, you're living under heaven, an open heaven. There is no sickness in heaven, there's no sickness where you are on earth. But there's a lot of sickness outside of it, maybe incurable diseases, let's say. What happens when they see that there are a group of people living in full health and have no sickness? They're going to want to be part of that. They're going to see that as something to be desired, and they're going to come. So let's say that you have 500 people gathered together, engaging together, living together in this embassy, looking to expand that, and 1,000 people turn up overnight. What are you going to do with those 1,000 people? Are you going to have tents for them to live in? Have you got enough houses for them to live in? Are you thinking even in terms of houses or tents? I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to choose to create 500 houses for those 1,000 people, simply by choosing and seeing creation respond to me and the photons of energy, the strings of energy, the grace of God within all things come together, and those houses will just be built. They'll just be formed. They'll just come out of the unseen realm, which is where everything's come out of. That was my thinking. So now God was challenging my thinking to expand that, to see, well, did they live in houses in the garden? Would they have continued to live in houses in the garden, or build houses in the garden, had the garden expanded to fill the earth? Or would creation and everything to do with creation work together so there would be no need for perhaps sleep, maybe no need for a house? And then I remembered being in the Father's garden and what it was just to float in the atmosphere and be completely at peace and rest. So God started to challenge me over, what would garden living be like? What would it like to live with the full abundance of a garden, fully releasing its bounty to us as sons of God? No cooperation, no bad weather, no temperature differences, none of the things that we have to contend with on earth now as a result of our independence and doing things our own way. All of those things completely different. See, when I'm in the realms of heaven, I never sleep. When I'm in the realms of heaven, I don't need to do earthly things in the same way. So what would it have been like if Adam and Eve had continued in the garden and that garden had expanded? So don't limit yourself just to technology, as I was doing. Even though I was looking at it from, well, I can create all this with my mind, that isn't enough. There is more than that. Son, it will not be living under an open heaven, but living as it is in heaven on earth. Son, embassies will not be subject to the corrupted creation dynamic, but to paradise restored. What is paradise restored? Let your mind be expanded to this. Allow God to begin to bring that creativity to what paradise restored might be like. Therefore, perfect weather conditions, perfect growing conditions, with no curses, full elemental and atmospheric cooperation. So all of the atmosphere of the earth restored with the right principalities, powers, and rulers, all the elementals that have been created to help us engage creation and function together in harmonious union, all functioning together perfectly. Creation restored to the oneness and limitless of the freedom of sonship in restored paradise. Son, do not be limited to the do-it-yourself possibilities that are restrictions, but be free to explore the limitless potential creative possibilities of an expanded mind of Christ-inspired consciousness. There is so much more than we could possibly imagine or think. But everything that we've created was once something, an imagination in someone's mind. But let's not be limited to what we've done in the past, but let's go back and restore what God would have wanted, that paradise restored. Son, open your home, open your heart. Overshadow freedom with your spirit to create an atmosphere of love, joy, and peace for the process and journey to continue in rest. Now, the freedom blueprint here is an area that I have a mandate to engage with. It's one of the spheres of authority that operate within my life. And therefore, I extend my spirit around it. And I want the atmosphere that I create by living in rest, love, joy, and peace, to fill that atmosphere. Now, sometimes people in that atmosphere oppose love, joy, and peace because of what's going on in their lives. But I'm looking to create an atmosphere to overshadow it, and therefore opening up my heart, opening my spirit to people, and also opening up my home so people can come and we can fellowship together, eat together, do those together things as a group of people, gathering as an ecclesia. Trust me and walk with me together, and I will lead you along the pathway of the tree of life towards your destiny in fulfilling your blueprint. Walking relationship, not working relationship. Son, you have been given and have accepted the mandates for the two scrolls of the Joshua generation and the harvest. Now you have a relational foundation from which the government and living stones can be built together that I will occupy. Something has shifted, and now we need to begin to establish something new that God is going to do as he builds those living stones together. Son, if you create the environment, I am, will be there, and I will bring other living stones with me. The environment that I am is looking for is open homes, open hearts, and minds where love is the priority, then joy and peace will be the consequence, and rest will flow like a river from heaven. Son, call together those I will show you to form embryonic benches, begin the journey together, establish the governmental foundation alongside the relational foundations. Seek me together and I will unveil the journey ahead, take you beyond what you can imagine or think. Trust me and walk with me into your destiny. Son, the opposition to restoration just gives a greater opportunity to bring the restoration of all things to the attention of my children. Whenever there is a controversy, or controversy, depending on which way you want to say it, more people will seek me for revelation, and I will be able to bring some of them into the revelation of the oracles of my heart. When there is controversy going on, people look to see what is the truth. And God's opportunity in that is to reveal the truth to them. Son, ensure that you do not polarize people over personality, but debate the issue from a love perspective. The public nature of the controversy has now made the issue public, and that will be the open door to a deeper revelation of my loving nature. Whatever we do when dealing with opposition, do it in the opposite spirit of love, and be inclusive and loving in how we deal with that opposition. Son, only debate the issue and leave names and personality out when answering questions about this subject. I'm not going to talk about those in opposition, but I am going to talk about the fact that there is opposition. I'm not going to name people, and I'm not going to express that, but I know who those people are, some of them, and I'm praying for them, and I want to bless them, and I want them to be blessed fully. So I'm not going to be negative towards them. I honor those who've gone before. I honor those who've been forerunners in what we're doing, and I encourage those people to go further. But I'm going to answer the questions and I'm going to debate the issue with those who ask. And wherever I go to conferences, people want to know about the restoration of all things. People want to know about future. They want to know about eschatology. They want to know the reality of reaching people beyond the grave when they're in the fire of God's presence. They want to know those things because I believe God is stirring their hearts and they know there's more than this. They know there's more than the evangelical construct that's limited us. Make sure to keep your heart right and love those who seek to persecute you and model the opposite spirit where relationship has a higher value than agreement. Always make sure that the people you're engaging with, relationship has a higher value to you than agreement and accepting that we all accept the same thing. The unity of relationship is so much more important than coming to an agreement with a doctrinal and theological position, because God will just blast that out of existence when we try and put him into a box of our own understanding. Son, this is a mark of maturity when you don't allow the religious or political spirits any space within the debates. Let's make sure that when we're talking to people, we do not use the religious and political spirit in any way. Give it no room. Operate in love. Son, always let love win over having to be proved right, and others will see the fruit of sonship and character over gifting and charisma. I don't need to be proved right. I just encourage people to go to God and find out for themselves. Don't listen to me or any other voice. Go to God and ask God's opinion. Get God to show you, but do it with an open heart and an open mind, not a closed one. If you go to God with a closed mind, you will hear what you want or expect to hear. I've done that often in the past. When God started to deconstruct my mind from the pillars that were framing my experiences, aligning them to what I already believed, God had to deconstruct those pillars, and therefore I had to be willing to allow the things I thought were true to be deconstructed by the experiences that produced cognitive dissonance in me. Therefore, my experiences didn't align to my beliefs. Where did my beliefs come from? And the Father once said to me, how much of what you know about me, heaven, the church, the Bible, Christianity, has come by direct revelation, and how much of it has come through listening to other people and being taught by the streams that you've been in? And I had to acknowledge that most of what I believed was assumed because that was what everyone believed. And now the reality is, I know that not everyone does believe that. And I know that God doesn't believe most of what I used to believe. And certainly he isn't the God that I thought he was. He is way better. He is so much more love than I ever imagined or thought. But when I experienced love, it changed my whole perception of God and how God outworks his love in restoration. It is love that conquers all, not the need to win an argument or put anyone down to elevate self. Love is otherly. It wants the best for others. Son, Jesus could have won every debate and argument with those who were trying to trick him, but he chose not to because he knew his identity, the truth, so did not get drawn into personal attacks or character assassination. You know, yes, he spoke the truth in love to challenge people. Yes, he said, yeah, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. But he did it in a loving way. He spoke the truth to bring revelation, not to prove a point or justify himself. He humbled himself under my mighty hand, and look where that took him, to the highest place far above all rule and authority. And if we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and accept the truth of who we are and who he is, he will elevate us to the place where we're seated with him in heavenly places. Love is what will win out in controversy, because love does not need to prove itself right at the cost of relationship and integrity. Son, live love, love living, and live loving, even when those don't, others don't, and you will stay in the place of rest. Son, the kingdom is at hand for all my children, but sadly most cannot see it or enter into its fullness because they are blinded by their lost identity. That is the sad state of the world. We need to introduce them to the light. It is the role of those who've seen the kingdom as sons to be ambassadors of reconciliation by unveiling the truth in love so all will be able to see me in my body on earth. Sun, arise, shine, love's light, and reveal who I am truly is, and the whole of creation will see true reality. Sun, darkness is only absence of light, and my sons are called to be that light that carries the true frequency of my precepts, essence, nature, as love. Sun, it's only unconditional love that can illuminate the darkness that covers the minds of those who cannot yet see. The perversion of love by the religion of the DIY tree has caused the diminishing of the light and the obscuring of the truth behind theology, doctrine, and dogma. I am is calling for those who have seen me and heard my voice to arise and shine. Take your places seated in me in the heavenly realms, positioned as sons to bring heaven's light into the earth and illuminate creation. When my sons are enthroned in heaven and are gateways of my kingdom, flowing the river of life into the earth, creation itself will respond to the brightness of their rising. Creation itself will respond to love's light and be set free from its bondage to corruption into the freedom of the glory of your rising. I am is calling my children to grow up and take responsibility for creation's groaning in darkness and be the light of love and true freedom. Sun, the season of grace is coming for those who've begun to embrace their responsibility for the restoration of all things as ambassadors. Greater grace. Grace upon grace will be released as my manifold wisdom reveals manifold grace. It is only my grace that can divinely empower my children to shine love's light, to set my children and creation free from its deceived state by revealing the true nature of my character that has been assassinated by religion. Sun, boldly tackle religion, its mindsets head on by revealing my ultra and ultimate grace in shining love's light. The veils of religious deception that have hidden and distorted my true nature as love must be challenged and exposed so it can be deconstructed and destroyed. Sun, this is not the time to hold back, but to go boldly and courageously on the offensive to in love and speak the truth in love to support all those who are being intimidated by those in opposition to the restoration of all things truth. And there is intimidation that goes on, like if you believe that, you cannot be with us. That is excluding people on the basis of beliefs rather than including people on the basis of relationship. Sun, use the conferences to reveal the four streams of partial truth that are becoming one river of true reality and abundant life to fill the earth with my glory once again. Sun, it's time to deal with the other two fallen ones who have been assigned against your blueprint. Now, remember, I dealt with Destiny Robber, and I dealt with that to bring restoration and offered restoration for that fallen one to be restored back from darkness to light. And now, Father was telling me that there were two other ones that had been assigned. They have heard the testimony of Destiny, but think it's a trap and are being deceived. I took my place on the Freedom Mountain and transformed into radiant light, and I call for bondage and disharmony to come into the light. And these were the two names of those beings. Slowly circling, the two distorted dragon-like beings came into view and stood before me in the light of love. I declared their forgiveness and released them from their debts. We do not believe you. This is not possible. That was their reaction, as had been Destiny Robbers. Because that's what the sons of God have told them. That's what the sons of man have told them in reality. They're not really sons of God if we're telling them that. I repeated my declaration and in the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh offered them restoration. I sensed their feelings and a glimmer of hope. And so again, I repeated the offer and then extended my light, my spirit, around them in love, so they could feel love's light filled with mercy and grace rather than judgment and justice from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, judgment and justice, which actually are grace and mercy outworked in love from the tree of life. The scales of darkness began to fall off and light began to burst forth until these two radiant beings of freedom and harmony emerged. That's what their names were. They had been distorted into bondage and disharmony, and now their true nature for freedom and harmony to come together with destiny emerged. Awesome. I offered them their position within the kingdom and within the sphere of our blueprint. They accepted with rejoicing. I felt a strong bond as destiny came to join them, and the light and the bond was then complete. So powerful when you see restoration take place. There was an overwhelming feeling of excitement and joy and a celebration of restoration. I felt the angelic realm rejoice as a brother is restored from darkness to light. Son, it is time for a shift in season for those who are established in heaven on earth. Now, all of these things about restoration and expanding restoration is bringing a shift. It's changing our emphasis to go beyond just the everyday life that we're caught up with to seeing the bigger realities of the kingdom being restored, of restoration, of dimensions, restoration of all things. This is beginning to change us. Time is coming to move to grace and greater grace, but only those who know the desires of my heart will discern this change. We need to see that the change is about restoration. It's about that restoration message that we need grace and greater grace to be able to reach and restore all that has been lost. Those still operating in the wilderness will have my grace begin to be removed from their wilderness ministries. I desire my children to come out of the wilderness of the Moses generation and enter into their inheritance, so I'm going to diminish my grace from the DIY path religion. I'm calling to my children, but many cannot hear because they are listening to the voices of their mediators, not me. I am removing my grace to encourage those who are trusting the Moses mediators to come to a realization that the cloud has moved and they are now without my anointing under the control systems of religion. The old season has come to an end, and those who continue to keep my children in the wilderness will be operating more and more in their own strength as my grace leaves them. Now, you could say that this is talking about the anointing of God to continue in what they're doing is going to leave. I have been merciful with justice, but justice will be in full force for those who have brought my children close to the promised land but have settled in the wilderness. Most will be like Samson of old, who did not notice that my grace had left him. Therefore, they will begin to use their own understanding. I am calling my children to cross over into their inheritance, embrace the grace and greater grace that will be available to them in their promised land. Son, legislate for the removal of my grace for the old order and the increasing grace for the new to those who are seeking to establish new order ecclesia and embassies of heaven on earth. Son, great grace and greater grace will be needed for the equipping of the Joshua generation to mentor the harvest of laborers that will begin to trickle in until they are flooding in. Demonstrations of grace and greater grace will begin to take place, not as before in the Moses generation through one man, but through all who know their identity in me and are seated in their heavenly positions of sonship. The works of sonship will become commonplace, not in meetings, but in the marketplace of everyday life. I will give greater grace to empower the supernatural lifestyles of those seeking first my kingdom, with the desire to only do what they see me doing because they are heart to heart with me. Son, do what you do in the secret place and give others the stage to demonstrate greater grace. Now, what God meant here was, I legislate and do things to help other people to do their things. I don't want the focus on me in demonstrations of greater grace power that would then put the focus on the one man rather than all of us capable of doing this for ourselves. So I don't get to do everything that others are going to do, but I do my part in helping them do it. I've called you to legislate for the success of others so you can decrease and they can increase. Your destiny is to establish in heaven so others can be the focus of to work it out on earth. The shift that I've been preparing for you for what is coming in 2020 as you complete the Engaging God program, you can spend more time with me and being an ambassador for the Joshua generation in the courts and assemblies of heaven. So there's some new roles to outwork in my heavenly position as well as doing changing in my earthly. I will give you the grace to travel as an ambassador on earth for the restoration of all things, and that will become your main mandate. I'm going to open up doors of opportunity to bring the restoration of all things message to a wider sphere. Son, be prepared to step through those doors with boldness and be courageous in the face of opposition. Son, always act with respect and honor to those who dishonor you and demonstrate love to those who see themselves as your enemy. Because I don't see themselves as my enemy. They're all my brothers. Son, the restoration of all things is not to be limited to what you consider to be living beings. I'm going to reveal the full extent of restoration and how it includes all creation. I am within all things as the frequency of light and life, and all things exist within the circle of our being. When everything was but a thought and desire in our collective mind, it was complete and alive, energized in our eternal now existence. Everything has our frequency vibrating within it. At the core of every particle, element, molecule is our grace, the divine energy. There is nothing that is inanimate from our perspective because it exists within us and we are within it. There is the ability for sentience encoded as our thoughts and intentions expressed as living letters waiting to respond. Son, creation is sentient. There are what are being called elementals that are the intermediaries between the physical and spiritual worlds. The elementals are connected to the fabric of creation itself, tasked with the ability to enable my sons in all their forms to interact with each other and with creation itself. Son, these elementals that go beyond just the air, water, earth, fire were not created to ever be independent, but to work in cooperation with my physical and spiritual sons. Our design for creation was birthed from our precepts, and it's fundamentally relational as we are. Creation, in all its manifoldness, was designed to be in glorious harmony in the beautiful simplicity of love. Son, restoration is the return to our original design and intention for oneness expressed in diversity, harmoniously expressed in symbiosis. Son, you have heard the music of the spheres and the symphony of perfection. When I took you back to see the beginning, to experience the intent within our heart, you know what that creational harmony feels like, and you know the present disconnect and discord of creation's groaning. And I do, and I've felt it, and it inspired me to want to see restoration. Those experiences birth the desire you have for the restoration of all of the dimensional beings and their environment and the fallen ones, and are but the beginning. Son, you have taken the first steps on the journey towards full restoration, but there are so many more. You have learned to legislate in the spiritual and physical realms, but you now must begin to expand your rule towards the elementals and other dimensions. All of creation will respond to mature sonship, but the limitations and restrictions of human consciousness must be deconstructed and expanded to engage a new level of divine reality. Live loved, love living, live loving, rest. Everything that I've been talking about and all the controversies that exist in some of these topics, don't let them take you out of rest. If there is fear, if there is intimidation, if there is negativity, if those things are being released around you, then go to Jesus and find the rest in him. Don't be taken out of love, and those who are trying to take you out of that place of rest by challenging what God is doing, live loved. Know that you're loved unconditionally, not because of what you do, not because you've earned it, not because you have done anything, but because he loves you, because you're his child. Love living. See life as a joyful opportunity to express the love that you've received by loving others, living in a loving way towards everyone in love, joy, peace, forgiveness, not holding anything against anyone. Make sure we live in that place of rest. From that place of rest, creation begins to respond to our sonship. If we're not in rest, then we're operating in as an orphan, separated from love, joy, and peace as found within him. Make sure we stay in rest, meditate for rest, engage rest, open your first love gate, engage love, joy, and peace as Father, Son, and Spirit. Be embraced. Let that flow through you. Create an atmosphere of rest around you. Help other people to come into this amazing place of rest so they can live loved, that they can love living, that their life will take on a whole different perspective so they can live loving. Then we can truly demonstrate what it is to be heaven on earth, living from heaven's government on the earth, establishing heaven on earth and expanding and colonizing the earth to bring the earth back to God's original intention and purpose. Let's rebuild those ancient ruins. Let's restore the things that have been lost. Let's our identity as sons of God bring restoration to the whole of creation as we are seated in heavenly places, in a place of rest, functioning in rest as sons, to embrace creation, our responsibility to see creation set free as we are revealed as sons of light, sons of love, sons of our Father. Live loved, love living, live loving, and rest.